Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here again this day. Today I'm going to talk more about food offered to idols. From Corinthians chapter 9, we'll go 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So let's pray. Father, as you reveal to me and to us and to all, Lord, this message from you, let it be a message from you and not from a person, Lord. It's a message, Lord, that the Apostle Paul gave to the Corinthians church just before he started to teach them about spiritual gifts. And Lord, the use of spiritual gifts for the Holy Spirit to be at work in people's lives. And Father, it's a position that we must take as we come before our Lord. Father, you save us unconditionally through no merit of our own. But Lord, it is then as we respond to you and to love you in return. And Lord, to want to be a child of yours and bring great honour and glory to your name, Lord. So, Father, if we look at this word today, we would just pray that your words be imparted into our life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we're going to read two chapters. We'll read one chapter first. That's chapter 9, and then we'll read chapter 10 later. So this is Paul talking here to the church at Corinth, and it's a question that they asked him about, and the question was, should I partake of things that's been offered to wherever in the world, to an idol or whatever, or should I not? So Paul answers it this way. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defence to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who ploughs should plough in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing if we reap your material things. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity it is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, if against my will I have been entrusted with the stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win them all. And to the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by the means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So Paul was exposed to a lot of accusations of false teachers who asserted that he carried on his evangelism and his labours from his own interested motives, and that he took the property of Christians, taking their generosity granted. So he speaks about his ministry. He declares openly that he is an apostle. He's been called by God to be an apostle. He was an eyewitness of the glory of Christ. You remember his conversion on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him and said to him, as his name was then, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? So he's seen the very glory of God there on that road. He was an apostle to the Corinthians, for he had been their means of conversion to become a Christian, each of them. Now the will of the Lord was that they who preached the gospel should live off the gospel. He had a right to take with him a sister among the crowd to be his wife and to be paid from the effort by the Lord's people. He did not use these rights. He was called by the Lord to preach the gospel. His glory was to do it with grace as a servant of all, that he might win as many as he could. Being paid was not what he looked for. His pay was the privilege to plant the truth of the gospel in their lives so the Holy Spirit could bring the increase and they would bear the fruit of that gospel change in their life, that they could see the work of the Lord in their life. That was his pay. Paul did not live with uncertainty as one who does not see the end. He knew the goal of the gospel, and he took that goal very seriously. Everyone could judge his walk. He wasn't like a boxer who just threw punches in the air everywhere. When he was a boxer who, when in the ring, aimed every punch to make contact. In living a holy and glorious life, Paul knew the troubles he resisted in his personal conflict with the evil that sought to obstruct his victory. There is reality in the pursuit of heaven. There is a reality in the pursuit of heaven. He would not tolerate anything that opposed it. Preaching to others was not everything. Preaching to others was not everything. It wasn't what Paul was about necessarily. He might do that, and it was a labour that was not in vain and a labour that he loved to do. He was a Christian first of all. He was a Christian first of all, then a preacher. And he was a good preacher, probably one of the best ever. But he was a good preacher because he was a Christian first of all. He was not a preacher first. He was a preacher because he was a Christian. Paul gives this warning. Whatever happens or is going on, make sure that you are owned of God. Your life is grounded in the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Make sure that your life is grounded. Don't fight a fight and then lose it because your life is not grounded. Don't get to heaven and you will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I didn't know you. Ground your life. The passage distinguishes between participation in Christian ordinances, such as communion, baptism and things like that, and the process of salvation. Greater is salvation. If we don't know the Lord and we can do all this all our life, we are the most to be pitied of all. You cannot give someone else your salvation, and that includes your children. You cannot give someone else what you have. First, live with the Lord and teach your children and others about Jesus. You cannot give your wife or your husband or anyone like that your salvation, but you can tell them about it. The things we do in church, like I said, the baptisms and communion and that, are wonderful when done if you are grounded in the Lord. God requires our dedication and not our rights. God requires our dedication and not our rights to fulfill our service. No doubt that we all have rights. It is when we surrender our rights that the gospel is advanced in our lives. Our life in Christ requires this dedication and discipline to grow. Surrender all to God. The more we surrender, the greater the walk, the greater it is. I know we all have this thing, we all like to have the steering wheel of life and guide our life around. But the truth is, the more we surrender that, the greater reward we have in life, even in this life. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 33, and I was going to ask my wife to read that for me.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers are under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offence, either to the Jews or to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not speaking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Thank you. The apostle then gives the Corinthians the ways of God with Israel in the wilderness as instructions of his ways with us. What happens to them serve as patterns for us, these important principles for us to profit by. It is not Israel who is the most important, but that which happened to Israel. The ways with Israel were written for our instruction and are examples for us to serve in the life of faith. I have a verse there, verse 12 from 1 Corinthians 10. There are two principles in this chapter which have great practical importance. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This is our responsibility to do. The Lord does not make us do that. He gives us that responsibility to do. He also gives us another one, and that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's a good verse to learn off by heart, by the way. We are, with regard to idolatry, to have holy fear, which encourages us to avoid doing evil. Always remember this, that if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. We read that last week out of chapter 8, verse 3. Christian behaviour is founded on love. That is God's love. Not our love, because if it was founded on our love, we would get it wrong. It needs to be God's love given to us through the Spirit. It's not founded on the knowledge, on how much we know or who we know. It's founded on the love of God. And the goal of Christian life is not knowledge, but God's love. If we are not known of God, we have no knowledge and we have no love of God. It's only what God gives us that we can give. We will be known by whom we associate with and have communion with through the communion table that we partake in as Christians. But many are but one bread and one body. Even though as we meet and we take that meal, we are one body. And that's important, that we love one another with the love of God. You want to be an evangelist? You want to reach people in community? Be one with God's people. Love each other with your heart, the love of God. And that is really what this whole thing is all about. We can talk a lot about those who ate the idol's meat, men identified with the idol and all that, things which we can do in the world. Should a Christian partake at the table of idols, remember that the table of demons is the cup of idols. So we don't. It's just an important principle for the Church of God. I'm not talking about a denominational church. I'm talking about the church that belongs to God. So who would provoke the Lord by putting him on a level with idols? The apostle repeats the principle already established that he has liberty in every respect. And as Christians, we can have that liberty, but that on the one hand, he would not put himself under the power of anything. On the other, being free, he would use his liberty for the spiritual good of all. To follow out this rule, these are his instructions. Whatever was sold in the marketplace, they should eat without question of conscience. Don't get involved in all the talk. Just do. But if someone tells you this meat was for the idols, just run for your life. And really, that's it in a nutshell. But we don't do it because of that. We do it because we love the Lord. In all things, we do it to see the glory of God and do it all for his glory. To see the glory of God in our own lives. We do it because we have liberty, not because we are bound. We have the liberty to choose right and wrong. He has never taken that away from us, but we have the liberty to do what is right. We have the liberty to build others up or to tear others down. And we choose that. But Paul says the greater of these is to build others. Paul is saying to live as an example of God's liberty to people who accept his salvation in all our life. Live as people that are saved, that know Jesus Christ. Having given all these rules in answer to questions of detail, because it was a question put to him, he spent 3 chapters on it. So he thought about it. And in the end, he doesn't really talk much about the food given to idols. He talks about our behaviour, what's in our heart. So having given these rules in answer to questions of detail, he turns to that which regarded the presence and action of the Holy Ghost, which also introduces the proper conduct for us in the church. So Paul, in his next lot of teaching, question here that he answers, turns to the gifts of the Spirit. This teaching today is to be done with the gifts of the Spirit. As we read those 3 chapters, it's important that we get a good grasp on that if we want to exercise those gifts of the Spirit. Because you can exercise a gift and you can have wonderful gifts. And this was a church full of gifts, but without love. 150 years after this church was founded, it died. That's a waste of time. I'm not saying there were a lot of people saved along the way. But God wants us to distinguish the action of love far greater than worrying about meat or that offered to idols. If we don't understand this teaching, we will never understand the gifts of the Spirit. Discipline is essential in the working of the gifts of the Spirit. God will give you the gifts, but you can be like this church and just randomly chuck it away. It is here the apostle comes to the inner circle of the body of Christ, and he wants to talk to those who are in the true church. It's the only way I can put it. He's not interested in all the flare and jeer out there, all the stuff that goes on. He wants to talk to people whose hearts are totally connected with his heart, unified together by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, of which the Lord's Supper is the expression of that worship. We take communion to express our love for what God done for us in Jesus Christ. God works opposite in all ways because our God came and died for us. He died to pay the price for what we get wrong. And no matter what we get right, he has paid that price, and all he wants us to do is by grace to put our faith in him. It's a simple message. Our indiscipline in spiritual matters causes failure. And we can learn this from the Old Testament experience of when he brought those people from Egypt into the promised land. They did have a lot of success, but they had a lot of failures, and it cost them. We don't have to do that. We have the written testimony of it. And avoiding idolatry is one of the things that we need to learn. Don't put God on the same level as an idol. God is God. And no matter what we do or what we think, God will be God. God designed the plan of salvation. We didn't. God designed that. And that's his plan for salvation. People mightn't like it, but that's his plan. And we need to learn to live for and with the glory of God. God wants us to put our lives in his hands in all that we do. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for us. Plans, Lord, to prosper us. Plans to grow us. Plans, Lord, to fill us with every goodness of the Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we make decisions in our lives, we pray that we spend time with you, that we might know the decisions you want us to make. Thank you, Father, for your message to us this day. We just pray, Lord, that it will dwell in our hearts and live there. Sometimes, Lord, messages do cause turmoil in our lives. And that's still a wonderful thing, because they help us decide where we want to be with you, Lord. Father, let us do this as a response to you. For the love that you have shown to us, we want to respond to you and love you, Lord, back, and give you thanks in everything. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for all our brothers and sisters. We'll lift them all up to you, Lord. And Father, we would pray that we would be an example to those, that none would stumble. Lord, they will never lose their salvation, but we don't want anyone to stumble and hurt themselves. But Lord, that we could be a wonderful example to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.